Well, good morning and a very warm welcome to Railway Street Presbyterian Church for our first service of 2021. And it's my pleasure to wish everybody, whether you are here in our building or watching online or listening to us on the telephone, a very happy, peaceful, safe, prosperous, healthy new year. That went so well last year that we thought we'd do it again this year. If you've taken up a New Year's resolution and you're still doing it now by the third day of the year, do please send us in some photographs and we might be able to do something with that, particularly if your New Year's resolution is to take up wild water swimming. We're very grateful we have so many medics in our congregation if that's your choice for the new year. As you know, Michael is on holiday until tomorrow, so if the services of a minister are required between now and breakfast time, if you could contact either Roger or Jean and they'll be able to help you. And in that context, I'd like to thank the Reverend Dr. John Dixon for providing cover while Michael has been on holiday. Remind members of Kirk Session that we have our Zoom prayer time tomorrow evening between 8 and 9, and the details will be sent out at some point tomorrow, so keep an eye on your email inbox for that. The church accounts for 2020 close today. And if you have any contributions that you would like included within the 2020 accounts, if you could please see that those get either to me or to Edith McConnell today, if possible, that would be extremely helpful. I've got quite a lot to do to prepare the accounts for the Charities Commission, for the Congregation for Assembly Buildings and various other people. So if, as soon as you can get that in. Now, I appreciate that today is very icy. And what we don't want is somebody trying to come out with a free will offering or gifts for the church and ending up slipping and breaking something. So if you are not able to get those gifts, either to me or to Edith personally, if you could give us a ring and we'll make arrangements to have those collected in the next day or two. Now, just having started to do the accounts, I would like to thank the congregation for your considerable generosity during the strange year that was 2020. Our free will offering has gone up. We've exceeded our target for United Appeal. We've been able to continue to build a good pot of money for our Link Appeal. And we've also managed to support a number of other causes through the course of the year. In what was a very difficult year, and I know it's been very challenging for some members of our congregation because of the circumstances you find yourselves in, but to say a very sincere thank you to the congregation for your generosity. Actual figures will come when we have those finalised, but to express our thanks for the way that you've put your faith into action and responded to God's call to give, to support not just the work here in Railway Street, but in different parts of the province, the island of Ireland and beyond the sea. So thank you very much for that. The only other announcement I have is that our service next Sunday is at 10:30 and, God willing, will be conducted by our minister, the Reverend Michael Davidson. This morning's service is a little bit different. We have a recorded sermon from our moderator, which hopefully will work later on. Otherwise, if the camera comes onto me, you'll see me writing a sermon very quickly. And hopefully, I am assured by the people at the back that the technology is working. But this morning we've come to worship God. Worship God at the beginning of a new year. As we do that, let's remember the words of the prophet Isaiah. As so many in the world look around, we know where our hope and our strength come from. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And we're going to sing a version of that now as we sing Strength Will Rise as we wait upon the Lord. Let us unite our hearts in prayer. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that at this, the beginning of another year, we can come into your presence and worship you. We thank you that you are the Alpha and the Omega, the one who was before time began, the one who is now, the one who will be after time has ceased. We come to bow before you and to worship you, to acknowledge your power and your greatness, to acknowledge the wonder of your creation, to acknowledge before you that as you are great, so we are weak and we are small. We come to confess this morning that as we look at your greatness and then we look at ourselves and our own weakness and our sinfulness, we come and confess that We have said and thought and done things that we should not have. We have not always said and thought and done those things that we should. We pray that you would forgive our sin, Lord Jesus, that you would cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We thank you that you forgive our sin. We thank you that you have promised that when we confess our sin, you forgive that sin and you cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so as your people this morning we come and we bow before you thanking you that you cleanse us from sin, you restore us into that relationship with yourself. We pray that as we worship you today at the beginning of a new year, you would help us anew to see your goodness, to see your greatness, to draw closer to you and to know your power as a reality, not just in each of our lives, but in the lives of our fellowship here. For we ask it in your name. Amen. Now, I was doing a bit of tidying up during the last week, which will now, if you listen carefully, you may hear a small thud towards the upper end of the Antrim Road as Fiona falls off the settee. And now, by the way, you wonder, there are a couple of folk, my wife is one of them, who listen at home and send us a message if something's not coming across correctly on screen, and we're very grateful to them. They're part of the unsung heroes of our broadcasting. But I was doing some tidying up during the week, and I found an old nursery rhyme book. Now, the other thing you'll know is, those of you who have come to a service in the building, that we normally sound check. And others are more pious than I am and will sound check from their scripture reading. I have been sound checking this morning with nursery rhymes and forgot one halfway through and was very pleased that one of the teachers, Wallace High, who belongs to our congregation, could remember the second half of it. But I found this old book of nursery rhymes, and it got me thinking about some of the nursery rhymes that I learned when I was very small. And I quickly started to leaf through the book and realised that with a mum from Glasgow and a dad from the Shankill Road, the nursery rhymes that I learned as a small child were very different from most other people's. And most of them are set to music and be heard around the 12th of July. But one that I remember and remember very, very carefully was because my grandad was very keen on clocks and watches, and he used to be very good at dismantling these and putting them back together again. Other members of the family were quite good at dismantling them, and that's where it stopped. But the one that I remember very well was, my grandfather's clock was too large for the shelf, so it stood 90 years on the floor. It was taller by half than the old man himself, and it weighed not a penny weight more. It was bought on the morn of the day that he was born, and was always his pleasure and pride, but it stopped short, never to go again, when the old man died. Now, I thought the first Sunday of the year would be quite nice if I brought my grandfather's clock with me. You do see how worried these people are over here that they're going to carry a grandfather's clock through the minister's room. And here it is. This is my grandfather's clock. It was one he was very, very proud of. He was presented with it sometime in the 1930s. And despite the fact, did open in rehearsals. This is not a good time if you're watching online to go and get a cup of tea. There we go. Watch, and there, if you look at it, it is actually telling us the correct time, and it is actually working. And this watch, my granddad used to wear this to church every Sunday on this chain, and he was very, very fond of this watch, very, very proud of this watch. And you know, this watch is almost 90 years old. And the firm that made this began working in Switzerland in 1932, and we know he got one of the early ones. So it's nearly 90 years old, older than anybody, I must say, that's in our building this morning. And this watch is still working, and it's still telling the time. Because, you know, boys and girls and those of us who are older, time continues in a line. Time doesn't stop. Yes, we adjust how we measure time when we put the clocks forward, we put the clocks back, but time itself keeps going. 2020 has finished. 2021 is the year that we're in now, and time continues to go. And for each one of us, we have a point in time where our lives start and a point in time where our lives will end. And there's that bit in the middle. That's the one that we're supposed to use and trust that we use wisely. There was an old American preacher whose name was Dr. Moody. And Dr. Moody was one day asked, what brings you more joy as a preacher? He said, is it someone who's old who has lived a life full of lots of sin and lots of bad things and wrong things, comes to Jesus at the end of their life and has all that sin washed away? Or is it a young person who comes to the Lord Jesus? And he said, well, great and all as it is that God can forgive all our sin, no matter what we've done, if we come to him and repent and ask him to be our friend and our saviour, he'll wash away all our sin. But he said, I am much happier when a young person comes because they have the whole of their life in front of them to love and to serve and to walk with the Lord Jesus. So we all have, at the moment, we all have the gift of time. At the start of this year, so think carefully about how we use that. And the best way to use that is to trust the Lord Jesus to help us and to guide us as we walk through life, not just, God willing, through this year, but in whatever time that we have. Now, I don't have any birthdays of people who are eligible for the birthday bag, but I do have a couple of other birthdays. It was one of our young folk, I gather, was 17 yesterday. So I hope the L plates are going up, but maybe today with the roads are icy, not a good day to go out. I'm not going to embarrass Amy Lee Forrest by saying who that is. But Amy Lee was 17 yesterday. We send our congratulations to you. And then, because I so often do a service at the beginning of the year, there's one person who gets embarrassed annually, and that's AJ, who will be 23 this week, which makes me feel really very old. So I have a 90-year-old watch and a 23-year-old son, so that's any wonder my hair's grey. However, all is good in our house because Rangers won the Old Firm match yesterday, so... Yeah, you were waiting for me to get that in. You missed that, the announcements, so... So we send our best... And anybody else who has had a birthday in the last week, we wish you well as well, because there are a couple of folk had birthdays over Christmas, but they are sworn as state secrets, and the people concerned know where I live, so I'm not going to make mention of those. We come now for our prayers of thanksgiving and of intercession. So again, let's unite our hearts in prayer. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning as your children, grateful that through the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, we have access to your very throne of grace, to come to speak to you as a child to their Father. At the beginning of this new year, Lord Jesus, we come to give you our thanks for all of our prayers that you heard and that you have answered in the year that has gone. We come to thank you for the prayers that you have answered for us as a congregation, that we've been able to continue to meet and to share our services online. We thank you for the technology and the people who have made that possible. We thank you for your blessing upon that. We thank you for each member of our church family. We thank you for the prayers that we've offered together as a church for those within our church family that you have heard, that you have answered. We come to thank you, Lord Jesus, too, for the generous giving of our church family here in Railway Street. We pray that you would take the money that we have given to advance your kingdom and to bless your people, not just in this place, but through the different appeals that we have been able to support, the different causes we've been able to help, and the individuals that we've been able to encourage and support throughout the past year. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for all the good things that you have given to us. And yes, it's easy to look and to complain and to grumble and to wonder about when things are going to get back to whatever passes for normal. But yet in the midst of that, we come to thank you for all your help to us. We ask that you would continue to be with us, to help us, to guide us. Today we remember the ongoing situation with COVID-19. We recognise that in many respects things seem to be getting worse rather than getting better in terms of people catching this dreadful disease. We ask your help for all those who work in health and social care and also who work in education. We pray that you would grant them your grace, your strength. We pray particularly for those within our own congregation who work in these sectors, asking that they would be kept safe, that they would know that protection and that peace of yours, that they would be able to use their times of rest and recuperation to be strengthened to go back in to share the kindness and the love that you have given them and the calling to their different professions. And two, we remember others who work in trade and industry in our civil service. We pray your blessing upon each of our members as they go to work or as they engage in social and leisure activity as far as we can at the moment. We pray that you would bless us and help us, that you would use us to be your lights where you have placed us. Today, especially, Lord Jesus, we remember the young people, particularly of our congregation, but also of our land, who are sitting the transfer test this coming weekend, and for their families. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you would place your hand upon them and help these young folk with all the strains and the challenges that they have had to face this year to know that peace of yours upon them. And for those who will be sitting exams later on this year and the challenges of that come in education at the moment, we pray that you'd be with our young people, that you would help them, that you'd help them to know and their families to know that peace that only you can provide. We remember those of our congregation who are studying away from home or will be travelling back across the water. We pray your hand to rest on them, and those of our congregation who work across the water or work away from home. We ask that you would go with them, that you would bless them and keep them safe, and help them to know that we here remember them in our prayers. We think this morning too, Lord Jesus, of those who are ill and those who are taking care of them, whether at home or in nursing home or in hospital. We pray that you would place your touch upon each of them, that they would know that peace of yours which passes all understanding, that you would grant them the help that they need day by day. Remember too those who have been bereaved, and we ask that they would know your peace that passes all understanding, that each would know that touch of the Lord Jesus and know that peace that only he can provide. Lord Jesus, for our own church family, as we look into all that 2021 may bring, for the challenges and opportunities of this new year, we pray that as a congregation we would grow in faith and love for the Lord Jesus and in love for one another. We pray that through the witness of our congregation here, people would come to know the Lord Jesus as their Saviour, and that all together we would be able to serve you faithfully, whatever the circumstances that we find ourselves in this year would be. Lord Jesus, we pray that you would hear us now as we pray the family prayer together, the prayer that you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now, having embarrassed my firstborn son, who is in charge of the technology, I am very, very much hoping that we will now have our scripture reading from the Reverend Ben Walker of St. Field Road Presbyterian, and followed by the sermon from our moderator, the Right Reverend Dr. David Bruce.
Isaiah chapter 7, verses 10 to 17. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz. Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights. But Ahaz said, I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test. Then Isaiah said, Hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of men? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. He will eat curds and honey when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. But before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings you dread will be laid to waste. The Lord will bring on you and on your people and on the house of your father a time unlike any since Ephraim broke away from Judah. He will bring the king of Assyria.
During the Advent season, we typically read the Old Testament prophecies about Jesus and create a link between them and the events of Jesus' life. And today we have a great example of that in Isaiah chapter 7, which is directly quoted in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. In Matthew's Gospel, we read this: "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." So far, so familiar. But let's look today at the original words of that prophecy and maybe approach it with fresh eyes. Isaiah speaks of the judgment of God upon his own people. He is almost a contemporary of another great prophet who was doing a similar thing. His name was Amos. So we have two kingdoms divided by power politics, Judah and Israel. And we have two prophets, Isaiah and Amos, united by God's displeasure at both of these kingdoms. In fact, for just under 200 years, these two divided kingdoms have compromised the mission of God in the world. They have, almost comically, missed the point of their existence. The people of God were, of course, chosen originally to be light bearers to the nations around them, evangelists, if you will, to the world at large. But they misread this calling. They misinterpreted God's call to them as a sign of God's special favor upon them. And they greedily absorbed the blessings of God for themselves, rather than selflessly giving away the blessings of God to everyone else. Now, inevitably, with this deficient gospel, they came to believe that God was on their side, that he was one of them, and this led them in both kingdoms, north and south, Israel and Judah, into a form of national state religion, which, of course, Jehovah would not tolerate for a moment. The rot had well and truly set in. So what is God to do about this? In one part of this story, you have kings who will apparently do anything to hold on to their political and economic power and only pay the merest lip service to the Lord. While on the other hand, you also have God's prophets who are speaking truth to power and not always being tolerated for their faithfulness to this task. There's tension in the room. Now, Isaiah is called to be a prophet in this difficult space and in these momentous times. And we want to look at a prophecy that he gave to a very young and inexperienced king of Judah, who had neither the nous nor the common sense, and indeed lacked the maturity to see his shortcomings. He was, after all, only 20 years old, and his name was Ahaz. His story is told in chapter 7 and 8 of Isaiah, and also, more fully perhaps, in 2 Kings chapter 16. Now, the background is this. Jerusalem is under threat of invasion in what looks to be a brewing civil war with their cousins in the northern kingdom of Israel. Now, the reasons are complex. We don't need to go into them in detail for now, but this is blue-on-blue warfare, Israel versus Judah. And this young and inexperienced king Ahaz of Judah, little more than a teenager really, panics, and that's probably understandable. But Isaiah, God's prophet, says to him, look, hold on. God is going to send you a sign if you look to him in this moment of crisis. When a forest is destroyed by a fire, all that remains are stumps of the trees. That's what's left behind. So let's follow the sequence of what Isaiah said to this young king as he offered him his advice. Isaiah says that the stumps of firewood that are this invading force are really just that. They're just firewood, nothing more serious, verse 4. Then he says, don't lose heart because of these two smouldering stumps of firewood. Judah will not be ruined by this threatened civil war and invasion. But Ahaz, you really do need to trust God at this moment of testing. Then he says, if you do not stand firm in your faith, you won't stand at all, verse 9. Well, Ahaz is still wavering and terribly unsure of himself, so Isaiah follows this up and says, ask the Lord your God for a sign. But Ahaz refuses rather piously and says, I will not put the Lord to the test. Well, all right, says Isaiah, don't push me on this because, like it or not, the Lord is giving you a sign. And here it is. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, verse 14. The word that's used for virgin here is a young woman of an age to marry. And the word Emmanuel, of course, means, because we're very familiar with it, God with us. Now, this immediately presents us with a conundrum, because we read these words as Christians, and we do so in the 21st century, and we also do so because we have read Matthew chapter 1. It's quoted there in Matthew's Gospel, and so we instantly associate this verse with Mary and the boy Jesus, who was God's Emmanuel. And we read it at Christmas each year, and rightly so, because the prophecy is surely fulfilled in him, as Matthew said it would be. But my question is, what do we miss if this is the first, or indeed the only thing that we do with this text in Isaiah? Yes, it's true, the text does lead us to Christmas. But what of the journey that the story takes through the centuries before it arrives there? That's the great joy and satisfaction of reading a book like Isaiah, because we're able to ask the question, what can these words have meant to their first hearer, who in this case was a young and panicking king, and his name was Ahaz? They were spoken to him in the first place, and he was in a very tight spot and didn't know what to do, facing this military and political crisis of an invasion task force about to pile in on top of him and trying to manage it all on his own and using his own resources of wisdom and insight. More than that, the prophecy continues beyond the promise of a baby son, because it says that before this boy who is to be born has grown enough to be able to say mummy and daddy, Assyria, the big economic and military power of the region, is going to pour in upon Judah. Now that's a whole different and new ballgame. That is not civil war with a neighbour like Israel. That is guaranteed annihilation. So how are we to read this? Well, the answer is that there was an immediate fulfilment of the prophecy which Isaiah gave. And it came through not Mary and Joseph, but Isaiah himself and his young wife. Ben Walker is going to read chapter 8, verses 1 to 4, which describes the birth of their son.
Isaiah chapter 8, verses 1 to 4. The Lord said to me, take a large scroll and write on it with an ordinary pen, Maher Shalal Hashbats. And I will call in Uriah the priest and Zechariah, son of Jeberechiah, as reliable witnesses for me. Then I went to the prophetess, and she conceived and gave birth to a son. And the Lord said to me, name him Maher Shalal Hashbats, before the boy knows how to say my father or my mother. The wealth of Damascus and the plunder of Samaria will be carried off by the king of Assyria.
Being the dramatist that he was, Isaiah made a large poster for Ahaz to see. The poster had the words, Maher Shalal Hashbaz, written on it, which means quick to the plunder, swift to the spoil. Now, these are military words. They refer to what happens after an invasion, and it's not pretty. The conquering army will be able to plunder the land that they have taken, and they will be able to remove its wealth as the spoils of war. So this big poster with its ugly threat of military catastrophe is displayed for everyone to see. And this young king, Ahaz, must have been trembling in his boots. Is this what is going to happen to us? Are we about to be plundered? It certainly gets his attention. Now, after this great dramatic prophetic moment, some months go by. Isaiah goes home to his wife, who conceives, and in due time, they have a son together. I remember the fun which Zoe and I had choosing names for our kids. Some of the names were chosen simply because we liked them, and others because they had a deep connection with grandparents or even further back in our families. Names are significant. Well, what about this for a name for your son? Quick to the plunder, swift to the spoil. I wonder what he was called in the playground at school. Blitzkrieg? But can you imagine the message heading home to King Ahaz? As 9 months after that poster was initially shown to him, news of the birth and the naming of the child reaches him. The clock is ticking, and he remembers the prophecy. Before this child can say, "Mummy or Daddy, Assyria is going to arrive in power and swallow you up. You're in trouble, my boy, and you have big decisions to make." Isn't it true that all of us reach moments of crisis in our lives when big decisions are needed? We need to tease out what really matters to us in those moments, to understand what, for example, is a matter of principle and what is simply a matter of opinion. And so we make our minds up about what to do, and we press on, hopefully having made solid and sensible and enduring decisions. Now, sadly, in this critical moment when Ahaz needed to go through this careful and wise process of discernment, he jumps the wrong way. Instead of trusting God and seeking his face, as Isaiah said he must do, he does the worst of all things. He tries to make peace with his implacable foe. He actually goes to Assyria and welcomes them in. 2 Kings chapter 16 describes his complete capitulation to Assyria, to its life and to its culture and values. Ahaz goes so far as to restructure the temple along Assyrian lines. He actually imports an altar from their pagan religion and sets it up in the Lord's temple. He even allows child sacrifice to take place there. Actually, he sacrifices his own son to the pagan god Molech. He goes further and cripples the economy of Judah by paying huge tribute money to the Assyrians just to keep them sweet. His lack of spiritual discernment and leadership is a complete disaster and, incidentally, provides the backdrop for the ministry of the prophet Micah to speak into. It's so bad that Isaiah leaves the ministry of the word for a time because it has become completely impossible for him to continue. So, back to the prophecy. The virgin will conceive and bear a son, and you're to call him Emmanuel. What do we do with it? Was it fulfilled in the birth of Isaiah's oddly named son, quick to the plunder, swift to the spoil, the Blitzkrieg kid? Well, yes, it was. Could it also have been fulfilled in the birth of Jesus of Nazareth to the young girl Mary? Well, yes, it was. And that's one of the mysterious and wonderful things about the work of the Holy Spirit in this book, the Bible. I wonder if you've been to the beach where you see a cliff face that the sea has cut away. You can see layers or strata of rock, one on top of the other. And as each layer is laid down, it becomes part of the one that went before and will in turn become part of the one to follow. Well, so it is with prophecy. God is sculpting the entire cliff face, using the events of history as his medium. It's part of what we mean when we refer to him as the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He sees both ends of history at the same time. Yes, Jesus is the fulfillment of this prophecy. And the challenge and the demand he brings is just as potent today as it was in the day of Ahaz. And the disaster that awaits us if we jump the wrong way is just as catastrophic as it was for him. Emmanuel, God with us, is not always a comfortable word, nor perhaps is it best displayed by romantic scenes from a straw-filled stable in Palestine. It's harder than that. It's more challenging than that. His presence amongst us draws responses from us that are sometimes tough. His arrival among us has a timeless application and finds its level in each generation where we're presented with our crises and our challenges to spiritual integrity in our moment of time. The question is, which way are we going to jump when we're called to discern his will? One of the nice things that a moderator gets to do each year is choose a Christmas card to be sent to a variety of people. This year, I chose a photograph for the card. It was taken by Philip McRae, who is one of our ministers in North Belfast. The picture is of a street in Krakow in Poland. And this is what I wrote inside the card, along with the scripture, John chapter 1, verse 14, superimposed on the photograph itself. So the Word became human and made his home among us. The picture shows a deserted street, as if the city of Krakow is in lockdown. The mood is overwhelmingly dark. The cobbles are in keeping with the buildings, old enough to reach back in time to a past which included the Krakow ghetto and Auschwitz, a mere 30 miles distant. The buildings on one side of the street show signs of long-term neglect in contrast to those opposite, which are well-maintained, even prosperous. This is a place of stark inequalities. The street leads to a destination. It is a place of light, hinting at open spaces beyond with perhaps some trees. But before this, there is a gate. And the structure of the gate is a cross. In making his home among us, Christ inhabited the darkest spaces of the human story. In joining us here in the dark, he would draw us inexorably towards the light. The cost to him was everything. The benefit to us was our healing. Emmanuel, God with us, means that his kingdom is among us and that as his people we are expected to live with kingdom principles in place, whether our story is in Judah 700 years before Jesus, the ghettos of Eastern Europe in the 1940s, or the lockdown of a virus-ridden world in the present day. Our enemy in these days may well be compromise, such as tempted King Ahaz for a quiet life. Compromise with politicians who overreached themselves in the name of a corrupt ideology, as in the history of Krakow. Or compromise to the siren call of secularism to replace God with some other godlet on the throne, as in our own day. Listen to the message of the prophet and do not bargain with the enemy, but stand firm and, having done all, stand. That is our calling, And if we reach the end of our Christian road and we're still standing faithful, he will say to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter in to the joy of your Lord." Amen.
We'd like to thank our moderator for his challenging and thought-provoking sermon to us this morning, and assure him of our prayers as he continues through his moderatorial year. As we come to sing our final hymn this morning, it really brings together what it means to be a Christian and what it means to trust the Lord Jesus for everything throughout all the challenges, the ups and the downs that each one of us will face, that when we come to that point of having to make a decision, that we know if our Lord is with us, that he will help us and that he will guide us through until we reach that place in heaven where we can hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." So we'll sing our closing hymn, which is "Christ, Our Hope in Life and Death." Let us unite our hearts in prayer. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth that Jesus is alive, that Jesus is our hope in this life through the portal of death and into life eternal. And so as a fellowship today, we commit ourselves into your care and keeping, knowing and trusting that you are our Lord, that you are our hope, that you will look after us in whatever 2021 brings. And now as a family, we conclude by saying together the words of the grace. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all forevermore. Amen.